So given when this episode will be released, this won't have that much meaning, but let it be known that in the last hour, Aaron and I finally finished doing our Christmas cards.
Nice.
The way this all started, right? Last year we did Christmas cards because, you know, it was our first Christmas married, and we already had a very up-to-date list of addresses. So it wasn't too hard to do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
This year, we hadn't really discussed it yet, but I received in the mail, maybe I did tell you about this. Did I tell you about the like weird letter that I got from the nonprofit organization with a bunch of stuff in it?
Think so.
Okay, so it was when we were gone this fall for Jeremy's wedding. We got back, and I had this letter that said, like, you know, on the outside, it was clearly from like some nonprofit organization looking for a donation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, hi, Mark, can we count on you for this holiday season? And I open up this big envelope, and like, it's like a manila envelope, if I remember correctly. And inside of it are 8 lovely Christmas cards, like greeting cards, you know, but it's like full printed, like paintings on them with matching envelopes that have like translucent versions of these images on the envelopes.
Mm.
And there's 8 of those. There's a calendar for 2024. There's a bunch of return address stickers with my name on it.
Mm-hmm.
And some like gift tags, the 2 from gift tags. So that's all in here. And none of it is branded with the nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
Which is weird. So we were like, well, we at least have 8 Christmas cards that we can send out.
Yeah.
So we ended up scaling back our efforts from last year. I bought like a handful more, well, more than a handful, like a couple dozen like generic Christmas and holiday greeting cards off of Amazon. And we're like, okay, we're just going to basically send this mostly to like family and stuff. And then we like picked out a couple pictures and had them printed at Walgreens. Mm-hmm. To include. And so we finished dealing with all that this evening. So that was fine. But I think moving forward, it's definitely worth the very small amount of extra money to just get fully done Christmas cards.
Mm-hmm.
Because we probably didn't spend that much less on this, and we spent a lot more time. So, yeah.
That's something I've been trying to do in my life more, is recognize when it's probably better to just do it the right way. Because, mm-hmm. like, yeah, it costs $5, but it also takes 5 minutes rather than 5 hours.
Yeah.
And I have to at least value my own personal time that much.
Well, especially when it comes to something like a Christmas card, where it's like what we're actually doing right now is kind of objectively worse and very unusual compared to what everyone else does for Christmas cards.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone does the like postcard style way of doing it. So whatever. But now they're done. We'll throw them in our mailbox tonight in our apartment and hope that they all get where they're supposed to go. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see.
Congratulations.
Well, thanks. In other news, Aaron and I got to ride the San Diego Zoo Skyfari last night.
Oh, you did now?
Yes. So I got to re-experience it after we determined that you and I did it.
Yes. You got to experience in a way that you remember, because it might be more memorable this way.
Well, and I don't know. I haven't gone back and looked to see if I like took any pictures when you and I were on it. But I did take some when Aaron and I were on it, because it was right before my company holiday party. And it was right at sunset. So let me send you one of the pictures that I got. Cause it's a good one. Oops, I just sent this to Aaron. She can ignore that.
Just in case she forgot what it looked like.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, technically, she didn't get any of the pictures, so I took them all.
Ooh. Yeah, it didn't look that good when we wrote it.
No. But yeah, so that was nice. It was a nice little way to, because we were able to get to the zoo an hour before the party area opened and just kind of roam around.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so much easier to do. Last year, we were at the safari park part of the zoo, which is way far north near our headquarters, and that, you know, I think there was technically an allowance for getting there early, but there wasn't much you can do. It's not as easy to just, like, roam around and see stuff.
Yeah.
So I think everyone was a lot more excited about how this one was set up. And even though... So I'm sure last year I debriefed on the holiday party, right? But the short version is, up until 2019, we always were, like, renting out a room in a restaurant, or in the case of 2019, a whole restaurant. Mm-hmm. And it was, like, a full open bar. It was very, like, fun. But it was always, you know, it was fewer than 100 people for the most part. Oftentimes way fewer. So that was kind of doable. And, you know, our CEO was able to, like, give a speech about the company and all this sort of, you know, it was, like, pretty mm-hmm. casual in terms of, like, people were very familiar with each other. But it was also, like, we did actually, like, dress up. Like, it was more or less expected that you were dressing rather nicely for this, as just, like, a special event to counter for the fact that we don't ever dress nicely in the office.
Mm-hmm.
And then last year, it was, oh, we're having it at the safari park. It's going to run from 6 to 10 p.m. on a Wednesday, and everyone gets 2 drink tickets. And I think everyone was very thrown off. Everyone who had been at the company for long enough, like, prior to COVID, was very thrown off by this, right? Mm-hmm. So it was like, we were all just like, oh man, this is just going to be, like, weird and different and whatever. We don't really know how to feel about this. Mm-hmm. And then everyone who was new since then had never been to a holiday party at all. So they were also trying to figure out what the heck this is.
Yeah.
And that led to a party atmosphere that just felt very, like, stilted and awkward. I don't think anyone left with, like, oh wow, that was super fun. You know, like, it was mm-hmm. good to see people, but it was a little meh. And so mm-hmm. this year, I was a little worried again when it's like, well, this one, it is on a Friday, but it is from 5 to 9 p.m. and there are still 2 drink tickets. You know, it was a very similar sounding situation. But I think it helped that everyone in the company now had, or, you know, everyone who'd been there for at least a year had this prior experience to just, like, set expectations. And so everyone mm-hmm. could go in and just enjoy it for what it was.
Yeah.
And also, there was more space. Last year, we were just in one big tent. And so the only place to socialize was among all the tables. Versus this year, we had a big enough space where, like, where we ate was separate from, like, where the bar areas were. And there was just way more space for people to just kind of naturally mill about.
Yeah.
The food was also better. It just seemed fresher. So that was also good. So, yeah, I think from talking to people near the end of the party, everyone seemed to it was a universal agreement that this year was better. Mm-hmm. So that was nice.
Good.
Yeah.
It's interesting to hear you kind of talk through that because, like, I don't know, I feel like it makes me think about how expectations, like, one, expectations shape how things are, or, like, shape your, like, experience of an event, I feel like. And also just, like, the concept of, like, understanding, like, event design and how events work. Very briefly at the end when you were mentioning, like, the having to socialize among tables versus, like, having space to, like, have separate spaces. And like, the value that some almost, like, small, seemingly insignificant change like that can make.
Yeah.
I find fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
I've watched a bunch of YouTube videos from a YouTube personality who, like, goes to events and then, like, talks about them and, like, I guess review. It's like one of those weird kinds of content that if you described it to me, I would be like, yeah, dude, yeah, sure, sounds interesting, and I would never seek it out.
Yeah.
But, like, I stumbled across it and it's like, wow, this is actually, like, so freaking fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Even as somebody who's, like, never gone to events like they go to, like, Comic-Cons or, like, they went to the friggin' races in Las Vegas and stuff.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure when you just meant events, what on what scale you meant.
I'm glad I gave examples because that it was too vague at first.
I was like, do they just, like, crash a bunch of corporate parties? Like, what are they doing?
Yeah. But then they've also done, like, going to, like, certain, like, raves on, like,
sure,
ships in a dock or like just all sorts of things and talking about the events and like talking about like things that make events good or bad, or like they even get into like security things, like, hey, like if you have this event, organizers, like you got to do this, this, and this, because you almost had like you had a situation where people had freaked out, there would have been like crowd crush or something. And like it's just interesting to think about the way events are designed, or like because of the way they organized something, it was like you couldn't hear how anyone talk in the entire event or whatever. But
I get like a very small portion of that, not on the level, not on the scale that this guy is talking about, but more on the corporate event side, because Olivia does a lot of that as part of her job.
Oh,
like in both places that she's worked, a big part of her job has been planning corporate events for like corporate sponsors or people who may be like interested in like a, because she works in like for a commercial real estate company. And a big part of it is like setting up events that show off the space that you're trying to sell.
Yeah.
And that's some of what she does, is my understanding. So it's always funny listening to her talk about how she sets up different things, you know, budgetary concern. It is just fun to hear from her perspective how that works. And that's different than planning like a company holiday party.
Yeah.
But it is, you still are dealing with similar stuff.
Yeah, there's applicable or transferable concepts, we'll say.
Exactly.
But, yeah, do you think, so segueing back to the first thing I mentioned, though, so do you feel like expectations played a large role into whether or not someone enjoyed the event?
It's hard to tell. I think that it, maybe subconsciously, I went in with low expectations compared to last year, and I was very pleased with how it felt by comparison to last year. But again, part of that is like, okay, I now, you know, first of all, Aaron was feeling better. Last year, Aaron felt terrible when she came to the holiday party with me. We left early, and this year she was totally good. So it's just easier. You know, we have like a bigger team and stuff. So I wasn't like, you know, have a foot on either side of like, oh, I'm like part of the, you know, the team that I'm currently on, but there's only like three of us, you know, and then trying to like reconnect with the people that I used to know super well, but haven't seen in a few years. And so this has felt like, it just felt more natural for me personally. I think that the timing of it worked out pretty well, where, you know, the whole planning process, like we were told more ahead of time how this was going to work. Everyone had Friday afternoon off to like get ready or do whatever, go to the zoo early if they want to. And honestly, having it be done by 9 and also at the zoo where you're, you know, just, you know, not too far from downtown, meant that it opened up people more readily to like plan ahead and be like, okay, we're going to like have some sort of after party thing. Like we're going to go somewhere after this.
Yeah.
That was like much more natural. So people could just like enjoy the time. It was like a casual atmosphere. Again, you only got 2 drinks, so like no one was going crazy or anything. It was just like meant to be a nice evening, and I think they nailed it this time. So for me, it was like almost like low expectations and then being pleasantly surprised for various reasons that it was well put together and just felt comfortable to me. And I just enjoyed it. And I'm perfectly happy if this is just the new norm for our company parties. But I do want to tell you about the chosen place that that many people went afterwards.
Oh, yeah?
A place in downtown San Diego called the Whiskey House. They are notable because they have the largest collection of individual types of whiskeys in the country. They have over 4,500 kinds that are listed in a 90-page booklet.
Oh my god.
And the funny thing for me was
robots.
Well, so, you know, you walk in, it's like an old style wooden aesthetic bar, you know, with like gas lamps and chandeliers and stuff like that.
Friggin' whiskey nerds are obsessed with wood.
And you look around and behind the bar, you know, the bar stretches the whole thing and, you know, it's like three, like one long wall and two short walls and then other places with just, you know, shelves over 10 feet high, just full of whiskey. Right. So there was an open question of, like, how is it organized? Is it organized precisely like the booklet that we were given, which is by state? So it's like American whiskey by state and then international by country.
Mm.
So we figured it has to be something like that. You know, they have to have some sort of like local, you know, Dewey Decimal System for their whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
And I joked initially, like, man, I wish they had some of those like cool, like old library sliding ladder things.
Oh my God, and they do.
And they did. Aaron was the first one, and other people at the table were like, no, they're like, there's like a bunch. There's one right there and one over there. I was like, oh my God, they actually do it. Awesome. So, but it was cool. Like, it was a cool spot. I didn't get anything super weird because we didn't want to stay super long because we had to drive back this morning. So Aaron and I each just got an old fashioned off their like standard cocktail menu and called that good.
Mm-hmm.
But it was fascinating. It's a cool concept that they're able to commit to, and I guess I commend them for that.
And I take it you didn't really love it that much based on that being your compliment?
No, I don't mean to say that in a bad way. Like, I actually think it is, like, I legitimately think it's a cool place. And I would totally, like, if I lived in San Diego still or whatever, that would be a fun sort of place to be like, okay, Aaron and I are going to, like, cap off a date night or something. Like, I actually would go back. I do think it's cool. It seemed like a pretty low-key place. Like, we were there on a Friday night, and it wasn't crazy. You know, it was just, everyone was just at their tables chatting and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I actually did like the atmosphere.
Okay.
It is just like, but it is funny that it's like, would I think that much of it if it had just been some bar that someone brought us to? I don't know. Like, there is mm-hmm. something to having a shtick that you are committed to, and you can throw this huge, you know, what they call their whiskey Bible, like, on your table, and you sit there and flip through it, or, you know, as I did, go on their website and download a PDF of it and be like, hey, can anyone guess how many pages it is?
So is that, like, just the way they had you choose? Like, they just, like...
So they have like a short menu that is, you know, standard cocktails and stuff like that.
And then you can mostly whiskey based.
Yeah. But they had other stuff at the very back of the menu. They had some other random liquors available from different regions, but that obviously wasn't their focus. But yeah, so you could, from my understanding, there's like that very short menu of just, you know, easy to order things. They have a specific, like, two of the pages near the front of the big pamphlet is suggested flights that they have.
Ooh, okay.
And then otherwise, if you wanted to, you could just, like, something semi at random from wherever, you know? Because
mm-hmm.
it was so funny. So we were sitting at a table with a few people, one of whom is my boss. And we were here because, like, my boss and the CEO of the company and the former CFO of the a bunch of people in the company who are high up are big whiskey people and have been here many times.
Okay. Right?
And I've heard of this place from them one or two times. And it was funny seeing my boss Grayson, like, rifle through this and kind of scan the list and go, like, ooh, this one from Virginia, Richard got me hooked on this one. And I was like, what? What is that? There's 4,500 whiskeys and it's this one. And he's like, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I love when people are so into a hobby that they just like. Stuff like that are the things that I love to hear from people who have those feelings.
Mm-hmm.
I love when they tell me about their hobbies because I feel like it's always so fascinating, and even if they're bad at explaining it, it's still fun just because of the raw passion that they talk about the topic with.
Yes, I agree. That was a good way to look at it for sure.
So you did enjoy your old fashioned?
Yeah, I think it wasn't my favorite old fashioned. Because they didn't have all of their old fashions on their old fashioned menu were all like an old fashioned with some sort of twist. So Aaron got one that was toasted almond. Someone else at our table got a peanut butter one. And I got one called the Smoking West, I think. And hoo boy, was it smoky.
I bet.
And it wasn't like, I meant, let me look this up now. Because Aaron and I were trying to figure out, we couldn't remember if mine was smoky because they like, did use scotch or something? Or if it was smoky because
they put smoke on it?
Yeah, they did some sort of like, because I've had a drink before that literally said that it was using like liquid smoke or something like that.
Ooh.
I don't remember if that's actually what it's called, but...
Because, like, liquid smoke's a thing, and it's a thing.
Yeah.
Have you ever had liquid smoke before, just, like, straight up?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Oh, you'd know if you did. Don't worry.
Okay, Smoking West. So it did have scotch in it. Double rye, some sort of scotch, burnt sugar, and TWH barrel-aged bitters. So it could have also been something from there. Because I don't remember feeling like, it wasn't like back of my throat burning when people talk about smoky that way. It literally like was like every single sip came with a little huff of a campfire.
Yeah.
And I've never like really had that before. So it wasn't bad. It just threw me off for a while.
I assume quite powerful.
Oh, yeah. Because most of the time, like if I have an old fashioned, it's just like I have a very... straightforward old-fashioned.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking through their options and trying to see if there's one that is like just a regular old-fashioned, but doesn't really seem like it. I could have just ordered one, I'm sure, and just been, but then I would have had to pick one of 4,500 whiskeys to make it with.
Yeah.
And that would have been overwhelming for me. So not at that level.
Yeah. Was it just like a list of whiskeys, or were they described, or had like tasting notes or something in there?
No, God, no, it's just a list. A list and a price.
Oh my God.
I'll send you the link, because it's hilarious. Can I send a PDF via iMessage?
Yeah, you can.
I think I can, yeah.
I received one on a Friday.
All right, here you go.
Or
here's
not,
here's the full list.
Thursday.
For you to peruse at your leisure.
For me to peruse at me leisure.
But yeah, so for example, you know, you just pick some place and it'll be it'll give you the name of the distillery, the percent alcohol, the name of the whiskey, and then the price.
Okay. This is nice.
But it just, like, there's so much.
Yeah, there's a lot. Wow. I also definitely looked at the first page and skipped the line that said table of contents. And I was like, who made a whiskey for every state?
Why are there
multiple prices for each of these whiskeys?
Yeah.
And some of them seem like why are these ones at the bottom like so expensive? That seems preposterous. Like, and then why all of a sudden is like rum like almost $100? I thought this was a whiskey bar. But
yeah, it was fun to just kind of look through this, see what you could find. It's always fun. I always like playing a game, especially whenever Aaron and I have looked at the menu of like a fancy steak place or something, you know, and you look at the absurd prices for wine. And try and figure out how much you could spend. It's fun to do that here, where it's like, okay, some states, they don't get that expensive in terms of, you know, I mean, this is all for, like, I assume basically a shot of it, let's say, you know, like a small glass of it. So on that end, it is crazy that they're all, you know, you have to spend like at least $12 or whatever for every single one of these. Kind of at a glance. I found a few that were 10, I think. Maybe somewhere 9, but then you start looking at just some random state and you're like, okay, like, what do I not know much about? Let's go look at like Vermont, you know, and you're like, oh, the most expensive one in Vermont is one that's been aged 21 years and is $249. So great.
For a single. Yeah.
And it's probably, I don't know if I would like it.
Oh, that's the thing, is you probably almost certainly wouldn't, I feel like.
I don't think they'd give you like a little taste of it like they do at a wine bar.
Yeah, no. I don't think that would fly. Yeah, I just talked to someone the other week about, like, we were looking at different alcohols, and like there was a specific one there, like, oh wow, like how do you even say that name? And it was like one of the few, like, it's not even like odd because it was somewhere that like we were at, so it's not like it was exotic, but I was aware of it and I knew how it was pronounced and I knew it's horrific. Or like it's one of those types of things where if somebody likes a specific type of flavor, it's their favorite thing ever, and for everybody else, they find it horrendous.
Yeah.
And it's also one of those things where the name of it, the pronunciation of the name, is exactly how it tastes. And I don't know how to better describe that.
Well, it kind of reminds me of Pickles by Brian Crane. How was that?
10 out of 10.
Thank you.
You really got me going with that. I was like, what kind of pickles taste like they sound?
I have a pickle-related video to show you after this.
Oh, I'm so excited then.
All right. We have two of the main characters in the Pickles comic whose names I don't remember. One of them might be called Pickles. I don't know. There's an old woman knitting on a couch. And she is saying, I love knitting. It keeps my hands busy. It keeps me company, even when I'm cranky. And we zoom out to her knitting, still with a little smile on her face, and the old man next to her is snoring away on the other side of the couch with a TV remote in his hand. And she says, it likes the same TV shows I do. And then she like whips around and pokes the man, says, Earl, the commercial's over, unmute the TV. And the man says, ouch! Because, you know, sewing needles have a point. And the woman turns back to her knitting and says, it has long pointy needles.
Oh, I'm sorry for interrupting you in the middle there.
That's okay.
You'd even said what she was doing before, and so I couldn't hold back.
That's all right.
Have you ever been stabbed by a knitting needle before, Mark?
I've ever been intentionally. Not intentionally. I'm sure I've poked myself with one at some point because Aaron has knitted on and off over the years. I think both of my sisters have knitted on and off over the years. So I'm sure it's happened, but nothing too grievous to my knowledge. Yeah.
Okay. So what was it? No, we're not going that direction. Changed my mind. Sorry. I was about to bring up Thumbelina. But wait, maybe this isn't the story that I thought it was. Not we're not even trying to go that direction, so we're not even going to read the Wikipedia page. Yeah, it like pricked her finger and something happened, right?
I don't actually remember if it's Rumpelstiltskin where that happens or not.
Okay. Well, now you got me thinking about...
My textile-related fairy tale stories are... it's a weak spot.
Gosh, now you got me thinking about Princess Bride. This thing you said, Rumpelstiltskin, make me think of the Great Vizini or whatever his name is.
Never go up against a Sicilian when death is on the line.
Yeah, yeah. Thinking about the Princess Bride just like destroyed my brain. I just started thinking about all these random things that I would love to talk about that are not anything related to this comic, and I'm trying to constrain myself.
It doesn't matter at this point. Do whatever you want.
Mark, do you think that facial hair will ever like look good on, or that like it'll ever be like your thing or something?
Oh,
like because like the dude Earl in this comic, like Earl's got a thing going on. Uh-huh. It might not be like an objectively perfect thing, but it is kind of, in my humble opinion, perfect for him. Like that look is like, it's definitely a look, and it's an intentional look at this point, I feel like.
I think given the track record of the men on both sides of my family, it's highly unlikely that facial hair is in my future. I don't know if it would ever work for me, but as of right now, I don't even want to know how long I would have to commit to attempting to grow it. for anything to happen in a way that wouldn't make me feel uncomfortable. So there's just like the personal aspect of it.
Yeah.
I don't think that I could grow it at all, really. Like, I have to shave every few days, but like, it doesn't feel like it's growing in a way that will become something.
Yeah. I should have phrased my question a different way. If ability to grow facial hair was not a factor, like if you could just like snap your fingers or like have some like magical snake oil spray that actually was very effective that just like made it grow. Do you think it's something you would ever want to try? And do you think it is something that you could like?
I don't know. My initial thought is no. I wouldn't like it on myself, and I wouldn't want to try. Like, if it was literally a snap my fingers and I could just like quickly iterate, like I'm adjusting my character in a video game.
Yeah. You
know? Like, yeah. I would certainly just stand in the front of a mirror and give it a look. You know, I'm not so against it that I wouldn't take 5 minutes to cycle through some options.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for me, I just don't see how it would work. I also don't know if Erin would like that or not. I kind of have a feeling she wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like clean shaven matches my whole vibe much better.
Okay.
But I don't know. That could. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it could never change. But you know, it just feels like a lot of work in some ways. That's more work to maintain it than it is to just shave.
That's so funny that you say that.
Do you just feel the opposite?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I could be influenced by every time I've heard, like, Mikhail complain about stuff.
Mikhail also, but
Mikhail's a special guy, so.
I was gonna say, I feel like he's a...
He's a redhead with weird hair.
Yeah. You can say it that way. I was gonna say, like, it's just like any hair. Like, you can take good care of it. Yeah, that actually made sense. I was going to say take care good of it, or I don't know. Like, well, you can maybe, take care of it as well way. As you would like.
Maybe we can put it this way. If I, two leading factors that you could look at and say, okay, Mark is now on the path towards considering facial hair.
Mm-hmm.
Given my priors, right? All we care about is like my priors about what it would be like. You know, I have, you know, over a decade of experience shaving, and I'm very comfortable just doing that when I need to. And also, I just get buzz cuts all the time. If I ever switch away from like just getting a buzz cut pretty much every time I get my hair cut, and like doing any, like, I want the minimum amount of fuss for all this sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just kind of where I'm at, I feel like. Even if over time I eventually could learn that maintaining facial hair of some variety isn't that hard, that would take some amount of time to determine that and get used to it. And there's never been a real part of me that is interested enough in having facial hair to be like, oh, well, that's never, I don't care that much about whatever it would take for me to learn how to deal with it, whatever that entails, whether it's easy or not, it's different, right? So in some way, immediately, it's harder. And I have to like, would actively want to, like, have the look to get over that small hump. Not a big hump, small one, but, you know, I'm pretty good with where I'm at.
Now this has just got me hooked, so I gotta... A quick follow-up question. What do you do with your hair?
What do you mean?
Like,
I grow it out and then I give it a buzz cut.
And I assume, but like in the intermediate, it's not like you never have washed your hair before. I assume you wash your hair.
I shampoo probably like every other day.
Okay.
And then, that's all I do.
I was on the
wrong end of the conditioner conversation like last month. This came up with some friends.
Oh,
What
do you mean on the wrong end? Like that you don't
everyone
use it
else yeah that I don't use it, everyone else uses it, and I was like, well, whatever.
Oh,
and Erin did slightly back me up because she was like, well, Mark does have very soft hair no matter what, and I was like, thank you.
Yeah. You also have like short enough hair that it like.
Yeah, the moment it starts getting too long, I'm really pining for a haircut.
Yeah. See, that's the thing with like, okay,
I comb my hair.
Like, I feel like beard hair isn't that much different than like, it's the same, it's the hair. Like, mm-hmm. if you're the type of person who like worries about it a lot, like, yeah, it'll be difficult for you to maintain a beard because you're going to be like worried about every little thing and like, oh, what beard oil do I want to use? But if you're the type of person who just like shampoos their hair every other day, it's exactly how you're going to feel about a beard. And it's going to make no changes in your life other than you don't have to shave.
Well, I still have to do something at some point, you know.
Not shave. Like the thing you're doing is literally the absence of a thing. But I was also, I want to segue somewhere else. I was also on the end of a conversation about conditioning. And I'm a little bit stuck on how I feel about the role that I played in the conversation.
Okay.
I feel like I was being used in the conversation as a hammer for somebody to like roast their male significant other.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know how I feel about that. I was like pulled into a social conversation out of nowhere, it felt like, with the question of, what do you do to your hair? Which I was like very thrown off on it. I was like, what do you mean? What do I do to my hair? What do you think I did to my hair?
Yeah.
Why are you asking? Like, I was just like terrified a little bit. And they're just like, no, like when you shower, what do you do to your hair? Because they were trying to roast their significant other for uh-huh. using like 3-in-1 body wash, shampoo, conditioner stuff.
I did that at some point in my life. Aaron brought that up as if I still do that, even though I very much don't. I haven't for years.
Yeah. And I was like, it was such a weird conversation.
Yeah.
And I also, it's very interesting because I brought up the fact that I do use 3-in-1 like body wash, shampoo, and conditioner as body wash only because I swear to God, I literally can't find anything other than that in like a male marketed scent.
Sure.
Like, can you find things like that?
Let me find, because I think the last time I ordered body wash was on Amazon and I got like a 3-pack. I'm pretty sure it is just straight up body wash. So let me look at my order history.
Because last time I bought some, I went to the store and I was like, I was looking for something that was body wash, and literally didn't have anything. The best they had was 2-in-1 that smelled like poo-poo.
Okay, so I have Dove, Men Plus Care, Blue Eucalyptus and Birch, Micro Moisture, Hydrating Body and Face Wash. You could check out the Dove stuff. Maybe that'll have what you need. Because I have had like the Degree 2-in-1 or 3-in-1, like super goopy gel stuff. I used to get that, like, that used to be at my parents' house. Because it's like, well, I'm not visiting here often. So then I had like a super old thing of shampoo. And then I just like stock up on the Degree stuff because it was always easy to find. But I found this Dove stuff at some point and I like it. It's not really smelly at all, actually. You know, it's just a very inoffensive, straight up body wash. So.
Yeah. The other thing that I brought up in the conversation that I'm curious if maybe you think that I was wrong and maybe I was just being a little bit mean to these people is I also bet them that their significant other had been lying to them and that they do in fact use shampoo and conditioner and like me only use their 3-in-1 stuff as a body wash because they just use like their expensive shampoo and conditioner and they did not appreciate that implication or that like statement because that's totally a thing that happens, isn't it? Am I wrong?
It does not happen in this household, but Aaron has because literally Aaron has stuff that like I don't even understand where some of it comes from because it's all like bespoke shampoo things for her mm-hmm. hair. I could imagine if that weren't the case and we were at more of a middle ground about how much we each cared about our hair, like,
yeah,
we probably could do that, but we wouldn't like lie about it. We would just do it and just be like, yeah, we're using this shampoo because it's easy if we're just using the same thing. But we don't do that. You know, we each have like our own things.
Yeah, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Mark has never used Aaron's shampoo or any hair products, right?
Yeah.
Yep. 100% for sure. Yeah. And then after that conversation,
I guess technically if I had ever showered at like Aaron's apartment in college, but that's also very different because I also wasn't lying about it. It's not like I walked out of the shower and said, I didn't want to use your stuff, so I just didn't wash.
I just rinsed off.
I used the hand soap. I hope that's okay.
Yeah.
Can you hand me the bottle of Dawn from under the sink?
Hey, hon, can you go get me the laundry detergent?
And bring some agitator.
Hey, I don't want to use your loofah. You got a toilet brush nearby?
I bet a toilet brush is a great hack as like a shower scrubber.
I'm now that you're saying this, so hard to segue, and I can't let you get away with that statement. That is the most horrific thing I think you've ever said on this podcast.
Not like a used one, but
why do you have a toilet brush near your shower if it hasn't been used? Do you not wash your toilet?
My point is that you could get a second one that you use as a brush in the shower, because then it's like it has a long handle. You can like use it on your back and stuff.
What happens if you mix them up?
That's a separate issue. You just gotta label things properly.
I gotta get a second toilet brush and a label maker? Telling me?
Never mind. You are misconstruing I'm attempting to say. I'm just saying the implement that is a toilet brush, which you could just hang from one of those suction cup thingies in the shower if you wanted to. Then you're not going to worry about it. Oh, I'm just saying I bet that would be a good brush.
On suction cups in the shower.
Anyway.
Gosh. Okay. I got to tell you about these texts from Mittens that I got by Angie Bailey. And so we're looking at a screenshot from clearly an iPhone that is on the nationwide cell phone carrier Verizon, getting excellent coverage, I do say.
You can tell this isn't actually from an iPhone.
How, Marky Mark?
Because the service information is on the left instead of the right.
What do you mean it's on the left instead of the right?
Look on your phone. Where does it say, like, whatever your carrier is or how many bars you have? Is it on the left or the right of the top of the screen?
So,
continue.
No, wait. Is my phone wrong?
Does your phone have it on the left?
Yeah, so I have the bars, and then I have my carrier.
That's right. You have your very old phone.
And then I have the Wi-Fi. And then I have the time. Phone.
That's funny.
Yeah, so screw you, you elitist piece of crap. So we're looking at text messages from Mittens, okay? And we got... I'm just going to read the conversation. You're going to have to figure out who's talking. Mittens, why are you sitting between the shower curtain and the liner? ... In the dark? ? Who wants to know? ? Me, period. That's why I asked, period. I'm not doing anything, period. You're just sitting there, ? Why? ? Hashtag for cat reasons. I'm busy, period. I have to go, period. Do you appreciate or are you annoyed with the way that I read the punctuation of these text messages?
I think it's important. We're going to keep this quick. How do you feel about ellipses in text messages?
Oh, I use them, but I always use them wrong. 2, 4, or 5 ellipses, or periods in ellipses.
It's not what I thought you meant by wrong, but I'll accept it.